answer. And hopefully this will set up the next 5 weeks as we go through the rocks that we need to keep moving forward. The first thing I want to answer today is, are we on a journey? Are we on a journey? Are we as a church on a journey? Are you as an individual on a journey? Are we on a journey? That's question number one. Question number two, is what we believe important? Is what we believe important? I mean, we know that, but I kind of want to talk about that for a second. And number three, what I hope we get to by the end, is if we are on a journey, if what we believe is important, what is our first step? What is our first step that we need to be right now making sure that we have in our life? So let's start with that first question. Are we on a journey? Are we on a journey? Well, let's start as a church. You know, as a church, we are absolutely on a journey. We are absolutely on a journey. If for no other reason, 3 weeks ago, we came together as a church and we said we feel that God is still calling us to move our location from right here to our new property out on 362. Now, something you might not have known this week is that something in Waller changed. We had a change in Waller this week. It is something that has been there in Waller, a foundational thing, I would say, a thing that's been there for over 10 years, went away this week. Did anybody notice? It was the sign that said future home of Waller Baptist Church. If you drive by there, now we still have to do some fence work because we got all kinds of trees growing up, but a sign that has been there for 12 years probably, that has been sitting on that property saying, this is the future home of Waller Baptist Church. We had Scott Snow get out there this week. Thank you, Scott. And I said, we need to just go ahead and pull. I mean, that sign had been there so long. Scott said as he was pulling it down, he said he could tell the poles that it were on were just deteriorating because it's been sitting there. Now I'm glad that the community knew that was our future home. But after 12 years, I wonder if it just became something you saw. Is it something you went, oh yeah, that will probably never be. But what we voted on 3 weeks ago is that we're on a journey as a church. And it's not just our future home. It is our home. It's where we're going. And we had Scott went ahead and kind of mowed a path around there. And we're going to start doing some stuff out on the property. Maybe some prayer walks. Maybe some other events out there. Because that is where we're going. I went out there when Scott was taking the sign down just to check on him. And I came in that front gate. You know, we got a gate out there because we got some cows on the property. And we had that gate right there. I came in that first gate. And as you get onto the property, I don't know. When you're just driving by that property, it doesn't look that big. But when you stand in the corner of it and look out at all the land, the 22 acres of land, and it was almost kind of breathtaking, you know, as I looked at those 22 acres and I said, what is God going to do on these acres? How is God going to impact Waller on these 22 acres? What are we going to build here? What are we going to put here? How many people are going to walk in that door? How many people are going to drive by and see our church? What is God going to do on that? Guys, we are on a journey. And I came back from just standing there. And that night, I had a meeting. I got about three guys in our church that I put together. I'm kind of calling it my leadership advisory team as we're trying to walk through all the different changes that need to go on in our church and that we've already put into place, and how do we get there? And I just looked at him and I said, hey, before we talk about any of the stuff that we want to talk about on how our church is and how we're going to do, I said, let's just stop for a second and get a picture of what that church, not the building, but what that church, the people, what that church, that family of God, what we want that to look like on the new property. And we just started throwing out things. You know, we were going, man, we want that to be a unified group. We want that to be a group that is community focused. We want that to be an encouraging group, that's encouraging within, and then that's just spilling out across the community. We want the campus to say, hey, come and see what God is doing here. And we just started dreaming. And then at the end, we said this, and this is that journey thought. We said, if that's where we want to be, and this is where we are, what are the steps that we need to take over this next year, year and a half? It's going to be a year, year and a half process of getting architects and getting engineers and getting all the different things happening, the builders out there. It'll be at least a year, maybe a year and a half before we, but in that time, we're on a journey saying, when we open that door on that first day, I hope more than the community saying, oh, look, a new building. I hope the community says, wow, look at that body of Christ. That's that body of Christ that for the last 100 years has been loving this community. And look at them ready to start a new chapter of loving the community. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. But what about you? You say, you know, maybe you're asking, are you personally on a journey? Sure, you know, sure, our church is on a journey. Some of you, I know I have some octogenarians in here today, and I've got some people in their teen. That's 80 years old for my people that don't know what octogenarian is. I've got some 80-year-old people in here. I've got some teens in here, and I've got in the middle of it all kinds of different age groups. And you might be saying, Blake, I've been a Christian all my life. I've been following God all my life. Listen, my journey's almost over. Am I still on a journey? And what I want to say to you today is absolutely. Until the day, well, actually, even that's wrong. I mean, we studied afterlife, you know, back in the spring. And this was just the general thought, is our life is really just the beginning of our journey. Eternity is our journey. It's not two separate things that we look at it sometimes, life and afterlife. It's one thing. And listen, every person in here, you are on a journey. In fact, in that last series we did on worry, you know, I had that sand thing up here. And listen to what Jesus said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these. He said, you've got to be in this constant thought of, I'm always seeking to know more about God. You never got it all. You never will fully understand God. When we get to heaven, maybe we got a chance there, but here, you're a seeker. You're seeking after God every day. And what happens so many times as a Christian is we kind of go, you know, I've been to Sunday school. I've been to Vacation Bible School. I've been through youth group. I've been in church my whole life. I don't really need to seek any more of God. And what I want to tell you today is that you're on a journey. And if you stop seeking God, some things happen. And it's not a good thing. In fact, these were some scriptures that I found this week that really got me thinking about that third question. You know, the first question is, are we on a journey? Or the second question, I mean. The second question is what I believe important? Is what I believe important? And in Hebrews chapter 11, let me read that to you. That's not going to be what I'm preaching from so much as I just want you to hear it. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6. It says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. It says we all need faith, right? And this faith is this understanding that we're never going to understand it all. If you understood everything, you would not have to have a faith journey in your life. It says it's confidence and assurance in what we do not see. Verse 3, by faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I mean, I'm just going to stop there for a second. Did you hear what he just said? He said, here's a faith step for you, that you believe that God commanded and the universe was formed. Did any of y'all see that? Yeah, I wasn't there. And in fact, in Scripture, God tells Job, were you there when I created, the earth? And the answer is no. I mean, we're constantly just going, I've got to live by faith. I've got to understand there's things out there that I've got to learn more about. But here's what I want you to see in verse 6. He said, you got to believe things like that. You got to have faith in stuff like that. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, here comes the next word, seek him. He said, you've got to be in this seeking mode. And there was actually something that was very scary right before that. He said, if you aren't in this seeking mode, if you aren't going, I'm going to continue moving forward with faith and learn more and get closer to God. He said, you're going to end up in a place where it's going to be impossible to please God. You're going to end up in a place where you're just kind of going, I don't feel God anymore. And I don't feel God's action in my life. And the reason is you're not pushing forward. I love what it says there. He says, you got to believe God exists. I think if I asked y'all today, do y'all believe God exists? Right? You would go, yeah, I believe God exists. But that second part is that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We are always on this journey. And here's what that phrase means. It means, hey, God's good. He's a rewarder. But number two, it says that God expects us to constantly be on this journey, constantly working to know him more, constantly learning how to share our faith with others, constantly learning how to sharpen each other in Bible study, constantly going out and encouraging our community and our world. Like we were saying this morning, that we try to have those opportunities. Because we have to say, by faith, I believe there is a God, but more than that, I believe that God is good, and he wants me to seek him and search him out. He wants me to move forward. Look, if you move forward to James chapter 1, James chapter 1 kind of backs this up. It says, if any of you, 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I love that verse. How many of y'all need wisdom right now? Anybody going through any issue where some extra wisdom would come in handy? Amen. And here we have a scripture that says, ask God about it. Ask God, that's what our church did for months about, this vote we did a while. We were just asking God and asking God and asking God. And as we move forward, that's what we've got to continue to do, is to ask God. But in our own personal lives, if we want wisdom, God said, here it is, you need to ask for it. But there's some conditions on that asking that's coming up. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But, here comes the condition. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of a sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. He said this. He said, and I'm going to put those two together. You've got to constantly be coming back and saying, what's the truth? What's the truth about God? What's the truth about God? What's the truth about my faith? What am I standing on right here? Because here's what I'm going to tell you. The world is not going to give you truth. You're going to be bombarded by untruth. And we can sit here and turn on the TV, and within 5 minutes, I guarantee you, I can show you at least one way, maybe 10 ways, where the world is going to tell you untruth. And what James is saying, James says, as that wave of untruth in our society hits us over and over again, and as we get into this position of, I don't really need to seek God, and I don't really need to think about it anymore. I'm a Christian. That's all I got to do. But the waves of untruth are coming at you. You become unstable, and you become shaky because you're not standing on solid rocks anymore. And so as a church, we need to come back over and over and over again. And what we're going to do for the next 6 weeks is say, what are some solid rocks that we can stand on? Because we need wisdom, and we need to be solid and stable and single-minded. You know, when we were talking with the leadership group, we said, we got to be a unified church. The single-minded saying, listen, we're going to put aside everything where we kind of go, I don't particularly like that, and I don't put, and instead, let's find things that we can come together and say, but we do agree on this. And I think, do we all agree we need to love God more? Everybody agree on that? Okay, there's one place. Do we all believe that we need to be reaching out to our community, lost people, people that are far from God, and bringing them in and teaching them about the love of God? We all agree with that? Yeah. Do we all agree that we need to make a difference in this community, in this state, in this world? We all agree with that? Then we can be single-minded. But Satan's going to say, no. Be double-minded. Let's come back again. Let's come back. Rock and roll. Let's find some rocks that we can agree on and start that rolling forward. Here's what I want to do. I want to look today at what is the first rock. What is that first rock that we should do? How do we start whatever journey that we are on? And here's what I'm going to do. In case you fall asleep, in case you have to get up and leave, I'll go ahead and tell you the answer to it. The answer is any journey, you've got to believe in truth. You can't take a step as a Christian. We can't take a step as a church if we can't understand that first step has to be, we need truth in our life. We need truth. So today what I'd like to do is just take you through John chapter 14, 1 through 6. John chapter 14, 1 through 6. Very familiar scripture. And I want to talk about truth for a minute. In John 14, it says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples. We're getting close to the crucifixion, right? We're getting close. Jesus has been on a journey personally with them. They've enjoyed having Jesus with them. But basically, what is he doing here? He is setting them up for when he leaves, that their journey can continue. And he's going, what do they need as they start their journey? And so he says in John chapter 14, and I think he says it to them, and I think he says it to us, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You know, we can go back to the worry one on this one, right? And, you know, he said, listen, I've got some big plans for Waller Baptist Church. I've got some big plans for you individually in your life, in your family, in your work. I've got some big plans. And he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going. And if we just stop right there, we use that. I use that scripture all the time in funerals. But really, he's talking about his death. But basically, he's not talking about where you're going. Well, I mean, he is. He's saying, and I'm going there, you're going to be there. But he's talking about there's going to be a time in between. You know, there's a place you're going. I've got a journey that's starting now as I leave. But don't worry, if you'll just hang with me. He said, there is a journey between here and there. And he said, when you get there, oh, it's going to be wonderful. But let's talk about the journey, because that's what the disciples heard. At least that's what Thomas heard. Thomas heard that last line in verse 4. You know the way to the place where I am going. You know the way. And Thomas, you know, one of our favorite disciples, right? Doubting Thomas. He kind of gets a bad rap, doesn't he? He gets a bad rap. Because I got to say, there's a lot of times I'm more like Thomas than I am one of the other disciples, right? You know, God says, do something, and I'll say, well, prove it, God. You know, God says, if you do this, this will be better for you. It doesn't look like it's going to be better for me, God. Can you prove that? You know, if you do this, this will be better for your church. God, I'm not sure that's going to be better. Can you prove that? You know, we have that Thomas within us that says, and I think that's okay. I don't think God's scared of our questions. And Thomas here, he's just got a real simple question. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Isn't that a powerful phrase that Jesus said? He said, I am the way. I'm the way. And I'm the truth. And I am the life. Our first step is right there. There is a way, right? There is a path. But Jesus, we don't know where we're supposed to go. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We don't know in our own personal lives what we're supposed to do. And Jesus looks at you and says, don't worry. He says, I am the way. But I'm going to look at that next word. He says, I am the truth. Now in our world, truth, it can be very, kind of like we said a while ago, unstable, pushed by the wind. Listen, in the language, the Greek language that's used here, this word had a specific meaning. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, aletheia. It means conformity to facts. It says there are facts and there is a truth. You know, in our world today, that goes out the window. You know, sometimes there's a truth. Sometimes there's not a truth. Sometimes truth is what you feel. And someone else might have a different truth. So that's foreign to Scripture. There is a truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth. So here's your first point about the first rock, which is truth, is you can know that truth exists. You can know that truth exists. I remember there was a movie not too long ago called, I guess it was a long time ago, I'm getting old, A Few Good Men. Y'all ever seen that one? It's got Tom Cruise in it, Jack Nicholson's in it. I just remember, you know, that one scene where it's in the courtroom and it's the apex of this, and Tom Cruise looks at him and he says, I want the truth, right? And Jack Nicholson, y'all remember the phrase he gives back, you can handle the truth. And I think a lot of times that's what we feel in life. You know, we kind of go, I want the truth, but I don't even know if I can handle the truth. And maybe I shouldn't even worry about the truth. But here's what Jesus says. He says, you can have the truth. He says, I'm it. He said, that's your first step. Your first step is to trust that I am the truth. Jesus never taught that the truth was a personal preference. Jesus never taught that sometimes truth can be this, sometimes truth can be that, just whatever you personally feel. Jesus talked about a personal truth, though, and let me show you what that means. Here's point two. Not only can you know that truth exists, you can know the truth. You can know it. Jesus made it very personal. Look, people will say truth can't be known. But in John 8:31, Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so when someone says, you can't know the truth. In fact, isn't it weird how truth can change? Truth can change. I was driving along the other day, and I had the radio on, and it was on a secular news station, and it was like, their big thing for the day was, new study finds dinosaurs were not killed 60 million years ago by a meteor hitting the earth. And I just went, oh, that just has so many issues in it to start with. But here's what really caught me is they said now from their studies of 60 million years ago, they have decided it wasn't a meteor that killed the dinosaurs. It was volcanic activity that killed the dinosaurs. And I just started thinking, just last year, a student in school in these secular history books would have been studying that the truth was a meteor hit the earth. And then all of a sudden, one study and the truth changes. Now, just to be honest, once again, I don't care what killed the dinosaurs. I don't think it was 60 million years ago, personally. We'll talk about that later. But I'm just glad they're dead. I've seen Jurassic Park, right? I don't want to hang out with dinosaurs. I don't care if it was a meteor or a volcano or what it is. But here's what I do want. I want truth. And don't come at me and tell me God and Jesus doesn't matter, that you're silly for believing that, when your own truth just changes all the time. I need a rock of truth. I need something to stand on. There's a guy that's been in Christian circles for years and years named Josh McDowell. He wrote a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, just an incredible book on why scientifically and why we can look and we can stand on our faith just by that. But one day he was giving a talk, and this talk on how the Bible was true and that it didn't go back and forth and there's truth to be known. And the skeptic came up to him at the end of the speech. And the skeptic looked at him. He said, Mr. McDowell, I have a problem. And so Josh looked back at him. He said, what's your problem? And he said, my problem is, how can anyone believe that you can be absolutely certain about anything? He said, that's just wrong. You're saying you can be absolutely certain about Jesus Christ. You can be absolutely certain that the Bible is true. I believe as a scientist that you can't be absolutely certain about anything. And Josh McDowell said he just had that God moment. And God just gave him the best response that he could give that guy. And he looked at him, he said, are you absolutely sure about that? And the guy was about to say, yes, I'm absolutely sure. And when all of a sudden it hit him, that he had just said, you can't be absolutely sure about anything. And so the guy just, basically put himself in this spin of going, you can't absolutely say anything, so I'm going to absolutely say that you can't absolutely. And it's that craziness that's in our world today that they want to make fun of Christianity and of what we believe. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to seek God, you got to know that there is truth. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed for 2,000 years. It hasn't changed since the beginning of the world. And you can be confident on that step. And then it's that you can know this truth. What you believe matters about that truth. We will know the truth if we are really His disciples. If we want to grow in our searching from God, we can know it. And here's the final point about this first rock. The first rock that we need to roll forward is that we need to know that what we believe matters. And that first rock is, do you believe there is truth? Point number three, you can have a relationship with the truth. Isn't that an interesting thought? Let's look at verse 6. Of John 14. Thomas has just said, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And watch how Jesus answers this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Most of the time when we think truth, we kind of come up with these philosophical answers. What is truth? Philosophically, this is what truth is. Jesus, when he said this, he didn't start with this idea of, I'm going to show you the truth. Come on, I'm going to take you to this philosophical place where you can understand the truth. He starts with that first word, I. He said, you've got to take truth out of this philosophical stuff. Well, I can't even say it. And he said, truth is a person. Truth is me. I am truth. And when he says that, he says, I embody truth. I'm throwing in a lot of old stuff because there's old people in here. Sorry about this, teenagers, but I remember X-Files, which was a crazy show. But their main point in X-Files was the truth is out there. The truth is out there. I think Jesus would say, no, the truth is in here. The truth is in here. I'm truth. And if your first step is towards me and understand that I am truth, we can move on to all the other rocks that you need foundationally to move forward. But until you understand that there is truth, that you can know truth, and that you can have a relationship with truth because it is Jesus Christ, then you can't make it to those other rocks. Truth is a person, Jesus himself. Jesus didn't say, I believe the truth, I can show you the truth, I know the truth. He said, I am the truth. I love that I am, because that brings me back to how God referred to himself, right? I am who I am. And Jesus said, I am the truth. We look at this thought of a foundational place where we can stand. Now, what are we going to talk about in the coming weeks? We're going to talk about creation, because we saw there in Hebrews that what we believe about how the universe was created is a really important rock for us to have under our feet. We're going to talk about the Bible. What we believe about the Bible is a foundational rock for us to be able to move forward to where God wants us to be. We're going to talk about God's goodness. And sometimes we just kind of take that for granted, but I don't know how many times in our life have we seen something and been hurt by something and said, man, if there's a good God, why would he allow that to happen? And just that thought of is there a possibility God's not good? So we're going to talk about that one week. We're going to talk about the authority and the kingship of Jesus. What it means that God has authority and that Jesus is on the throne. And finally, we're going to put all those rocks in a row, and we're going to talk about the path that we need to take to move forward. That's going to be over the next 5 weeks of Rock and Roll. Today was I'm a believer, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm a believer in truth. And if I've got that in my life, God can do amazing things. Do you have that in your life today? Have you ever asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Have you ever taken that moment to say, God, I got a journey ahead of me, and I desperately need to have foundational truths in my life. I feel like I'm being blown by the wind. And maybe today's that day. Maybe you're here and you go, Blake, I want to ask Jesus into my heart and get that first stone taken care of. Or maybe you're here today and you go, I like where this church is headed. I mean, everybody does it. But maybe God's calling you here today to say, I want to be a part of that journey, and you want to join our church. Right now, I'm going to invite our musicians back up. God's stirring you. Maybe God's just stirring you to prayer. And one of the things we've been talking about as a leadership group is how do we become that church in Waller known as a praying church? And maybe today you just want to come forward and pray. As the musicians play right now, if you want to come forward and pray, if you want to come forward and need to know more about asking Jesus in your life, or if you want to come forward and say, hey, I want to join your family today, we're going to open it up right now for that.